26, 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I hope you're enjoying as we go through the Old Testament. Just to remind you what my philosophy is in trying and striving to teach the whole counsel of God. It's verse by verse, book by book. I believe in a two-thirds, one-third. That doesn't mean that somebody that doesn't do it like me is wrong. I try to do two-thirds New Testament, one-third Old Testament. The Bible tells us that the Old Testament was given to us as an ensample, as an example to lead us, to show us. I believe that our doctrinal basis ought to be based on the revelation of God's Word in the New Testament. We will find consistency through the Old Testament, but we will see that as the Lord established worship through His churches, that we will get our doctrine, our polity, our direction from God in the New Testament, but that's not to discount the Old Testament at all. I believe I would be disservicing you as a pastor if we did not have discipline to go through the Old Testament as well. And I think it's very exciting. I think it's very interesting. I'll put a chart up next week to try and help you with who these kings are. So when we're all said and done, we'll go through 40 of them. And so it's a little bit difficult to separate them, particularly now that we're going through the kings that have the same names. You got a bad one in the north and a good one in the south, and it's difficult for me to remember as well. And there are times that if I'm not careful, I will say the wrong king even while I'm preaching. Well, 2 Kings chapter 26, what that does is it'll be our third king of the south. Remember, Israel was split, northern kingdom and southern kingdom. Northern kingdom had 10 tribes, southern kingdom had two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. They were split right after Solomon's death. We had Saul for 40 years, we had David for 40 years, then we had Solomon for 40 years. And then Solomon's son Rehoboam didn't listen to good counsel from the elderly councilman that he had, and he listened to his peers, and he said, you know, you think my father was tough, I'm going to be tougher than my father, and the kingdom split. And so we're hundreds of years into the split kingdom, and there was no good king of the north. There were good and bad kings of the south. And even the good kings, they struggled. We should remember that. We should never get haughty. We should never think we've arrived. We should never be impressed with ourselves. The best of the kings still had the flesh. The best of the kings were never perfect. And so we can learn much from them. Well, tonight we're going to look at Uzziah. It's a famous king. And so you remember we had Joash. Joash was king when he was 7 years old, and he reigned 40 years. And then Joash was assassinated, killed. And then his son Amaziah took over. And Amaziah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years. And so then Amaziah also was chased down in the city of Lachish, and they killed him as well. It's just sad that a people that were called God's people, God's chosen people as a nation Israel, that they would live just like everybody else, right? When we think of kings, it's that they would just slaughter the previous kingdom so we could have my kingdom. And Israel many times was no different. Well, tonight we'll look at Uzziah, who is the son of Amaziah. He's 16 years old when he begins to reign. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Let's start there. And I may just read the entire chapter. I may pause as well, but we'll see. Chapter 26, verse 1. Then all the people of Judah, the southern kingdom, took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. Now, they're going to give us a little review. So, the first two verses kind of bump. You know, he's 16. He reigned 52 years. And then he slept with his fathers. Look at verse 3. 16 years was Uzziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. Verse 4. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Verse 6. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines, and brake down the wall of Gath, and the wall of Jabna, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. Verse 7. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbaal and the Mahunims. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Verse 9. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, and at the valley gate, and at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. And he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Verse 11. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hand of Jael the scribe and Maaseiah the ruler under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. Verse 13. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Necessarily, we haven't seen anything bad yet, have we? Sounding pretty good. Now verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Verse 19. Then Uzziah was wroth. He was angry. And he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself, or Uzziah, hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, or a separate house, or quarantined, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. And we'll finish the last two verses. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial, which belonged to the kings. For they said, he is a leper, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead. Title of the message tonight I've titled, Keys to Self-Destruction. It is sad. Uzziah, there's a lot about Uzziah in the Bible. It's interesting. Did you see Isaiah was mentioned? So we are about to move into the prophets that you're familiar with. Isaiah, if you will, just real quickly, just give you a little background. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. I want to show you some prophets that existed during the life of Uzziah. Isaiah was one of those prophets. Amos, Hosea. Micah was a contemporary of Isaiah, but he was not prophesying during the reign during the kingdom of Uzziah, but Isaiah, Amos, and Hosea were. But I'll just show you this. Just you'll see it was referenced here in 2 Chronicles 26. But as Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. God begins to bring, what I'll say, the big name prophets. And he begins to warn Israel, and he begins to just beg them to turn from their evil ways and turn to the Lord. I accidentally typed out the wrong verse, but look over to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. This is a very familiar verse that you'll remember that most of you have seen many times. And I just wanted to remind you, this is happening during this king we're going to talk about tonight. Isaiah 6, verse 1. You've seen this. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, this is Isaiah, when he said, I saw also the Lord sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And it's a beautiful picture of God's glory. And what a blessing that Isaiah got to see. But it was in the year that Uzziah died. So 52 years after we started here, Uzziah, he was 68 years old. We see Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. It's in Hosea, it talks about that it was in the days of Uzziah. It talks about Amos, that Amos was a prophet in the days of Uzziah. So this is kind of fun. I'm not going to do it. I'm so tempted. We will cover those Old Testament books, but we're going to finish the Kings, and we'll do Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, and then I will probably jump over to the minor prophets. And so we'll see. I don't think I'm going to do Job and Psalms. I'm probably going to jump over to the minor prophets. So just if you know where I'm headed for the future, you can give me feedback on that. I don't know if it'll matter. But it's not that I love your feedback, but then I think, trust me, if I'm burdened about it, where we're headed with the Lord. But in Job and Psalms are great books too, right? Psalms is my wife's favorite book. But I don't know if you guys are ready for me to be 6 years in the book of Psalms. So, but we'll see that. I think there's so much for us to learn in the minor and major prophets as well. I think there's just so much for us to learn that it's not preached, and it's going to be good for your pastor. It is really going to force me to cover books that I want to be a New Testament expert. I want to be a New Testament expert. I want to know every chapter of the New Testament. If somebody names a chapter, I want to know what's in it. I want to be a New Testament expert, but I want to be a Bible expert, and I'm just not where I need to be with the Old Testament. So when we go through the major and minor prophets, it'll be good for you, it'll be good for me, and I'll have to work even harder, so it'll be good. But here we have Uzziah. Turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We have Uzziah here, that he's 16 years old. You look at this in verse 4, the Bible says this. It says, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. So I want to tell you, the only way someone can do right, and right is short for righteousness, right, is if they're saved, if they're born again, if they're a follower of the Messiah, right? So the only way he could do right, because the Bible said there's none good, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. No one that's unsaved can do good. Remember, because the Bible says, it says, if it's not of faith, it is sin. You see, that helps me. How is it helping the little old lady cross the road? How is that not good? Because it's not done in faith to our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if it's not in faith, it is sin. There's relative good between humans, but there's none that does good. Zero outside of Christ. The only way you and I can do good is through the new man, through that new creature that we've been made in Jesus Christ. And so when it says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, the only way we could do right is if we are a believer. Now, what it says is he had the same problems as his father, Amaziah. It says in 2 Kings, this will be the only reference I'll have, 2 Kings 15:4. It said, except or save that the high places were not removed, that people sacrificed and burnt incense still in the high places. Remember we talked about the high places last week? That was not necessarily high places of worship for false gods. But that was a convenience. That was, it's just be a little too difficult for us to come down to Jerusalem. So we're just gonna do a little incense and a little worship here. We're going to do our own thing up here in the high places, and God will accept that. He's a reasonable God, and know what God says is what we ought to do. And so that's difficult, though, and so Uzziah didn't change that as well. But I do love this. Look at verse 5. It's really where I get my title. It's a combination of verse 5 and really what you see. Look at verse 16. Let's look at verse 16. It said, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. And what I want us to do is I want to look and say, how did a good man, how did a man that did right in the sight of the Lord, how did he end up so far that the chastisement of God was on him and gave him leprosy till his death? You and I are no better. We should be very careful. But verse 5 says this, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosperous. Now, what I read early on, God made him very prosperous, right? He had success in wars, fame and reputation. He had many buildings that you saw him building. His husbandry, you know what husbandry is? It's the vineyards that he loved. His husbandry. He loved the vineyards. He loved cultivating the fields. He loved that. And so the Bible says that. So God blessed him there. God blessed him with his armies. Things were going well for Uzziah. But when he was strong, his heart lifted up. Well, the first thing I want to see tonight is I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things that I think I see in the Word of God that can lead to our own self-destruction. I want the Lord to bless this work. I want us to reach souls for Jesus Christ. I want to see people saved. I want to see families helped. Then I want to see those people that are saved reach their family and reach others for the glory of Jesus Christ. And I will tell you this, we better be careful. When God begins to bless, that it's God that gets the glory. No man, no church, but God. That's critical, and we all have to help one another do that. The first thing I see is, I see it in verse 5, is if we want to self-destruct, we will stop seeking the Lord. Look what it says. It says, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah. Now, we're not sure who this Zechariah is. It's not the Zechariah of the Old Testament book. That Zechariah doesn't come on the scene for another 125, 150 years. You remember there was a Zechariah that was a priest that it was Uzziah's grandfather, Joash, that killed Zechariah the priest. You remember that? Many believe that this very well might be Zechariah the priest that was stoned and killed by Joash. It might be his son. Because many times you would name your son after yourself. And so they're wondering if we just don't know. The Bible doesn't give us. But he said, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah. And it said, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Listen to just a couple of verses. It says in Isaiah, and I particularly look for verses in Isaiah and Amos because they were prophesying to Uzziah. Isaiah 55:6 says this, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Amos 5:6 says, seek the Lord and you shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. The Lord says this, we must seek him continually. If we want to live a life that may have started well and finished poorly, we will forget to seek the Lord. And when we forget to seek the Lord is many times when blessings come. If there is a country in the world that is susceptible to forgetting to seek the Lord, it would be the United States of America, would it not? I mean, I'm telling you, I've never been to Israel yet. I'm at least going to get there in the millennium. I'm excited about that, so no matter what. But it is, when I look at pictures, even pictures when my son went to Israel, the land flowing with milk and honey, it sure looks like we got a little bit more milk and honey than Israel, doesn't it? We have been blessed mightily, and if we aren't careful, this is the problem with Christianity in America. We have forgot to seek the Lord. We're comfortable. Can go back to the message on Sunday morning. We are full. We are satisfied. We are comfortable. You know, I've told folks this. I want to be clear that, you know, when we started this work, the heartbeat is, and we're still a fledgling work, that as God allows us to grow, we want to plant churches. And what I want to do is, I'll tell folks this, if you want to have a church split, just hang in there, we'll have an official one. And I want to send, you know, 1/3, 1/4 of the people out and start a new work. I never want to be anything but a desperate preacher. I want to be a desperate pastor. The Lord is not desperate, I've said that all the time, He's not. But I'll tell you, you know what being desperate does? It makes me depend upon God and I have to get upon my knees. And if it means that we send 1/3 of our people out to start a new work and it just jump starts them and they're excited about that work, that's exactly what I want us to do. We're not looking just to have a club that's full. What we want is a church that loves souls and is pursuing souls and is willing to die and invest and give our lives for people. I want to be a desperate pastor. Being desperate for the Lord will make me seek Him. I love your problems. I love being overwhelmed with your problems. It makes me seek the Lord. Some people say, Pastor, I'm sorry to bother you. If you only knew. Well, if you didn't bother me, I might not seek the Lord. When I see phone calls sometimes, I'm like, oh dear Lord, give me wisdom. Help me. That's good for me. That's good for me. It's good for you. Put yourself in a situation where you say, I really don't know what I'm doing. I need the Lord. That's a good place to be. We get too comfortable, we won't seek the Lord. I'm not talking about foolishness. I'm just talking about press yourself, push yourself. If you want to self-destruct, you will get comfortable and I will get comfortable and we will not seek the Lord. The day that our church does not seek the Lord is the day that we are a waste of time and we should shut the doors. I'd rather shut the doors than have the self-destruction that Uzziah had. I don't want people coming in here and go, man, they got leprosy all over their forehead. They can see it better than we can because we can't see our forehead. And so we need to seek the Lord. First step to self-destruction that I see with Uzziah is, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel here. I'll tell you this, prosper. Prosper, God would bless. What would it be if God prospered you? I want it to be that we would want souls for Jesus Christ. There can be nothing better than that. Don't worry about money. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of all that other stuff if we seek Him and His kingdom and His righteousness first. First thing I see that he stopped seeking God. The second thing I see is we start relying on our own strength. Look at verse 8. It says, and the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Now, you could say, now remember, this is really what we do with the Old Testament, is we're looking for two things from the Old Testament. We're looking for application, and we're looking for pictures of Christ. Christ is throughout the Old Testament. We're always looking for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is throughout the Old Testament. The Old Testament is about Jesus Christ. Never forget that. So some of you may disagree with my application, but when I see the Bible tell me here that he strengthened himself exceedingly, I wonder, was it excessively? Now, it doesn't say that. But he strengthened himself exceedingly, and my fear is that he began to rely on his own strength, and he began to think that it was him that was the reason for all the success that they ended up having. All the prospering that God did, as long as he sought God, then all of a sudden he said, he started, I am pretty good. This is amazing. I see it in three ways. You see this, he pursues the temple. Look at verses 9 and 10. It says, moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and the valley gate and the turning of the wall and fortified them. And he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen. Those are the vine dressers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. What I see here is he had towers. Those were military forts of protection, of first warning, and they were at key strategic locations. And it's not necessarily wrong, remember this? It's not necessarily wrong to provide and protect for your family, but when you rely on the things that are going to protect you versus God, that's where it becomes sin. I'm all for gun ownership, I've said this before, but don't put your faith in your guns. Put your faith in the Lord. That's critical. I wonder if Uzziah began to put his faith in the towers. And then he dug many wells. Of course we need to dig wells. We need water. We need to take care of the cattle that they had. But did he have so many wells that suddenly he didn't need to pray for his daily bread? He didn't need to ask the Lord for water because we got plenty. We got Costco. Right? We don't need to ask the Lord. So did he begin to depend and dev? And then I see this, and I love the, you very rarely see this in the Bible. It said, for he loved husbandry. Do you ever see that? You very rarely see that. There's a hobby that somebody loved. You guys tell me after we're done, what other examples could you find in the scriptures where it talked about somebody loving a hobby? He loved husbandry. Did he love it too much? Love's a strong word, isn't it? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'm not suggesting that Uzziah was at that point, but I'm not sure if we should love anything. But, you know, loved husbandry, he did. And so he began to rely on his own strength of pursuit of the temporal. Now look at verse 12 and 13. The confidence in man's might. He said the whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. Now these guys, they were studs, man. I mean, you know, it didn't take, David just had a few mighty men. You imagine having 2,600. Man, they could just put a whooping on anybody. And so then verse 13, and under their hand was an army, 300,000, 7,000, and 500, 307,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. They began to be impressed with maybe Uzziah did with his own might. I love this because I'm a numbers guy. And 2,600 mighty men of valor. Underneath them were 307,500 men. 2,600 were 0.85 of 1%. So less than 1%. And that helped me as a pastor. So I was just thinking, I need some mighty men of valor. You know what, though? What God typically provides is the 99% faithful men, faithful women that will serve the Lord, and I need to be thankful for that, right? You know what I think we do as pastors, and maybe you do this? We're looking for the 1%. That's okay. Where are they? And I need to focus on the 99%. And sometimes you feel like a failure if you're not the 1%. The 307,500 were also servants of the Lord. And so, you know, I need to love the 99% and the 1%. And you need to not worry if you're not the 1%, but be faithful to the 99%, right? But I wonder if Uzziah began to put his hope and his faith and his confidence in their might. Then verse 14 and 15, this is kind of cool. Did he put reliance on carnal weapons versus spiritual weapons? And it says in verse 14, and Uzziah prepared them throughout all the host, shields and spears and helmets and habergeons. Those are basically a coat of mail. So, you know, the arrow wouldn't go through. And bows and slings to cast stones. I love this in verse 15, an invention. Israel's always been inventing weapons of war. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men. Maybe Henry Ford saw that there were engines before he built one. Invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. So, you know, they had it. And his name spread far abroad. But here's the key. Self-destruction is when we forget and we stop seeking God. Self-destruction could be when we are impressed with ourselves and we begin to put our faith and our confidence in our own might. You understand that? If I die young, and yes, I would still qualify, it's because I asked for it. And God doesn't have to answer this prayer. He doesn't. He could let me be a Uzziah and have leprosy on my forehead and bring reproach to the Lord, and I don't want to do that. I've begged the Lord. I've said, "Oh God, do not bless this work if I will cause reproach to your name. Oh God, do not let me live if I will cause reproach to your name." He doesn't have to do that. But know this, God knows what He's doing. If I die young, it's a blessing. I don't want to dishonor God. I don't want to be somebody's story. How to avoid self-destruction? Let's look at Steve Hall. I'm no better than Uzziah. You see, tonight I need to seek the Lord, and tonight I better not rely on my own strength. I am a fool if I do, and I would suggest so are you. Third thing I see, Uzziah, he was a good man. I see this in verse 15. Look at this, and it says, and he made, you know, these great things. And look at the end, it says, and his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Look at verse 8. It says, it says, and the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Here's what happens is, not only do we forget and we don't see God, not only do we begin to rely on our own strength, but third, I think, we begin to listen and believe what other people tell us. I think I've hurt people. I want to encourage you. But you know, really what we need to do is say, God used you to encourage me. I should do what I've told you to do, right? I've watched. You know, I'm words of affirmation, if you know the five love languages, right? I'm words of affirmation on steroids, man. I mean, it's ridiculous. And it's the worst thing to be as a pastor, is words of affirmation. I've talked to the Lord about that. I said, you know, why couldn't I be like acts of service? I mean, that would be a perfect pastor to be like, if you just help me. I mean, I'll love you. You know, that would be good. But no, all you have to do is say, man, that's a good message. I'll be like, well, you know, I mean, it's pretty good, wasn't it? Did you like this point? Oh, don't do that to me. I better not listen to you. And you better not listen to other people either. Are you good at things? You should be saying yes. God's given you gifts. You should know them. But it's to the glory of God, has nothing to do with you. We saw that in 1 Corinthians, right? He's like, who gave those to you? God did. I wonder, did Uzziah begin to listen to people and go, I am amazing. And when he was strong, he destructed. Don't listen to people. Listen to God. I want you to know what you're good at. In fact, as a pastor, I really want to know what your strengths are, what you're good at, so I can best utilize you and put you in the right spot so you'll have a sweet spot. You see, I tell folks this, it's a lot of work to prepare messages, but I know this, it's not nearly as much work as it would be for someone that doesn't love doing it. I love preaching. I look forward to preaching. If I don't preach, I want to preach. And for some of you, you'd go, I would hate preaching. I mean, I see people all the time at work. I'd be like, man, I hate what you do. I am so glad you're doing that. And they were happy. I'd be like, because, you know, you hate what I do, but I love it. You know, it's fit. It's fit. So you ought to know what you're good at, but it's to the glory of God. Don't get puffed up. If you are Einstein, if you're the smartest person in the world, what did you do for your IQ? I was laboring in my mother's womb. Are you kidding me? If you are brilliant, it's of the Lord. Do you know that? It's of the Lord. And so, who are we? But we are, you talk about this flesh. This flesh is always going, you're amazing. They don't appreciate you. Somebody else will. No, you know, the Lord knows everything about us. And let's stop listening to voices of flattery and of compliments. It's all about the Lord. Don't forget that. If Uzziah did what I think he did, he began to listen to people. That's the third thing. Now the fourth, I want you to look at verse 15. It's subtle, but it's important. Did you see this at the end of verse 15? It said, "In his name spread far abroad." But it says, "For he was marvelously helped till he was strong." Look back at verse 8. Excuse me, verse 7. "And God helped him against the Philistines." And it says in verse 15, "He was marvelously helped." Here's what I believe. He forgot that it was God's marvelous help. Any success we have, any blessings we have, any prospering we have, it's of God. The Bible tells us in James that God's the Father of lights. He's the giver of all good things. Something good happens, it's God. If something good happens to a lost person, it's God. It's the root word of God, means good. Good is what God is. He can't be anything but good. When good happens, it's God, and we forget. He forgot God's marvelous help. He forgot that it was God that helped him. I struggle with this. I am glad with the wording in verse 7. Maybe I'm the only one. I've never asked anybody this before. Have you ever been praying? And I've said this, Lord, help me. How many have said, Lord, help me in your prayers? Okay. I've struggled with that. Here's why. Lord, help me. It's like, Lord, I can't do anything without you. So it's a little bit more than help. Lord, take over. Right? Lord, help me. I got 93% of this, but man, this last 7%. Has anybody else struggled with that? Just a raise hand. Anybody else struggle with saying, Lord, help me? Okay, I feel just a few. Okay, that's good. The spiritual, have understood that. And just kidding. It is, I struggle with, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. It's, I can't do anything without you, but the Bible even uses that terminology. It says God helped him. And it said he was marvelously helped. I want to tell you this, you'll see it throughout the Bible. It just sneaks up on you sometimes. I was having a Bible study, and sometimes I have so many Bible studies, I'll go through the same book so many times that I don't prepare for Bible studies if I've gone through the book dozens of times, and I trust the Lord to bring to memory what He wants me to cover. And it just ministers to me, right? In the middle, I can't even remember what book of the Bible I was in this past week with the Bible study, but right in the middle of some like horrible sins, it was like, and they were unthankful, right? And then right in the middle of something else, I was in another Bible study, he said, and be ye thankful. It was like, you know, kind of, it felt kind of, okay, where'd that come from? It's a big deal. Thankfulness or ingratitude are a barometer to where you're at with God. Because if you are blessed, it's God. Are you thankful? I am so thankful for air conditioning. I love air conditioning. Uzziah can have his husbandry. I've got my air conditioning. Right? I mean, if they read a book, and he loved air conditioning. I mean, and he loved toilets, right? I mean, wouldn't you hate to have lived like 1,000 years ago? Rough. I couldn't handle that. And So, you know, I love some of our conveniences. And but it's God. He's good. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Did something good happen this week? I'll guarantee you it did. You can easily name the things bad that happened, right? I can too. I get aggravated, right? I mean, I feel better. You know that 2001 Ford Focus? It's to bring me more to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hate that car. And, you know, I am going to take a sledgehammer to it one day. But I'm going to try to be righteous about it. Once it's dead, we're going to have like, you know, some kind of smash-a-thon. And, you know, we can think of all the things that are bad, but do you think of the things that are good? Remember, what we're talking about is path to self-destruction. We stop seeking God. We rely on our own strength. We start believing what people tell us. We start listening to others versus listening to God. We forget God's marvelous help. And then finally, verses 16 through 19, it's kind of interesting. This is just so out of the blue. And yes, this is interesting. When Uzziah then goes into the temple and he begins to take the incense, and there was nothing that appeared to lead up to that. That's why I was really looking for the scriptures, because what happened is when Uzziah went into the temple and he began to burn incense and he was going to take care of it, not the priest, he took upon himself honor that was not his. And you see, you and I, if we take upon ourselves honor that is not ours, we take it from God. Do you remember that? When we take the praise, we take it from God. When Uzziah went into the temple, he said, I got a better way. It's not through the sons of Aaron. I got a better way. Look at verse 16 to 19. It's just fascinating. I read it already, but a second time might help you. It says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God. Now, do you love this in the Bible? I love there's different words for sin. And you know, there's transgression, there's iniquity, there's sin. And so I've talked about them before, but transgression, remember, to transgress means to cross over. To transgress, to cross over God's commandments, to cross over God's commands. And so he literally then crossed over into the temple where he wasn't supposed to be. He transgressed, and our transgressions are always against the Lord's God. It says this, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest, now this is there's a little irony here. When you turn back to 2 Kings 15, don't do that now. But another name for Uzziah is Azariah. So this priest is named Azariah. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and Azariah brought 80 priests with him, and they were valiant men. I love this. Is it so good that godly men were willing to stand up to Uzziah? Isn't that good? And he wasn't stupid. Let me take 80 more with me. Now, it wasn't unusual for kings, evil kings of the past. He'd say, kill them all. But Azariah was willing to stand up for what was right. I love that. In verse 18, and they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee. This is not for you. This glory is not for you. It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priest, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. No trespassing. They went somewhere they weren't supposed to. Neither shall it be thine honor. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. See, he had taken honor that wasn't his. Verse 19. The saddest part is Uzziah did not respond with repentance. Remember, he had 80 other priests, 81 priests, Azariah and 80 other guys, and he got angry. When we are full of pride, this is a freebie. Do you get angry a lot? It's probably pride. Yeah. You shouldn't do that to me. Mm-hmm. And then we feel like we have a right to blow a gasket. Anger and pride are brothers. And Uzziah didn't respond with repentance. It's probably the saddest outside of verse 16, but I don't know what the Lord would have done, but the Lord He always loves a contrite spirit and he wants repentance. But he says in verse 19, then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy arose in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. So he took honor upon himself that wasn't his. Make sure we don't do that. All honor belongs to the Lord. All honor belongs to the Lord. Nothing for us. It all belongs to the Lord. And then the result of all this, we've seen this, is the chastisement of the Lord. The chastisement of the Lord. Now, that's another reason I believe Uzziah was a Christian, is because God says He doesn't chastise those that aren't His. Uzziah, God really let him have it. God gave him 52 years as king. God blessed him. God prospered him amazingly. In fact, it's been a while since we've seen a king blessed as much as we've seen Uzziah blessed. Hasn't it been a while? I mean, it seems like everything was going right for him. I can't remember the last king that it went that well. Joash started out well, but Joash did not have the growth and the establishment and the worldwide fame that Uzziah did. And so it was the chastisement of God. So I want to beg you tonight. Keys to self-destruction. And I know this. This is important. Just answer these questions. Are you seeking God? If you're not, you're on the path to destruction. Secondly, are you relying on your own strength? You will be able to detect that a little bit. What's your prayer life like? I love asking people for prayer requests sometimes. I don't do it to like, oh yeah. When people go, no, nothing. Scary. Scary. And I know sometimes we're like, well, if I told you, you wouldn't like me. But don't rely on our strength. Third, are we starting to listen, people? Do you think you're pretty amazing? It's God that's amazing. And we need to always remember that. Fourth, have we forgotten that it's God's help? It's God's marvelous help. We must depend on the Lord. We're very blessed. And then finally, fifth is we take upon ourselves honor that isn't ours. And when we do that without repentance, God will chastise us. And you know what? This is one of the most interesting things. I look forward to hearing the rest of the story with Uzziah. I think Uzziah, I'm going to just tell you this, here's why. 1 John chapter 1 tells me this, that the lost people do not repent. You want to know a clear sign that you're a believer, that sin bothers you and you will ultimately repent? You see, the Bible speaks of those that can continue in sin, you evidence that you were never born again. We still have this flesh, but a true believer has the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will convict us and bring us to a point of repentance. I suggest that Uzziah probably repented. But his leprosy didn't go away. That's the hard part. Sometimes we bear the consequences of our sin. Sometimes we bear the consequences of God's chastisement, even though we've made it right with Him. And here's what we have to understand. If that's what God decides, He knows best. These aren't easy. Look, some of your stories, some of your struggles, they make me wish I wasn't a pastor. Because this isn't fun. I really don't know what to say. I really don't have any answers. It's not fun to say, all I know is God is good. But what you just told me is just horrible. What we have to do is trust God. Uzziah died with leprosy. And God knows best. Let's seek the Lord. And let's strive that by God's grace, we will sprint into eternity. Let's pray.